thanks for downloading the Brick House podcast today. I'm your host, Bob Johnson.
And I'm Matt Baker. Bob, what do we got for the people?
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com.
Oh, wow.
Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/almighty. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. We've got a very special guest today, Matt Baker.
I always like having guests.
Probably my favorite person in the whole wide world, and also a secret contributor to the Brick House podcast.
Okay.
Secret joke writer, a ringer, if you will.
Yeah, well, the secret's out.
The secret's out. She's my favorite person. Lucky for me, she's also my wife. It is the director, writer, producer, and star of the new web series Fame Dogs, Mrs. Sylvia Beatty Alcala. Welcome to the show.
Bob, thanks for having me.
You also forgot to mention voice actor on the Brick House podcast.
Oh, that's true. That's true. She's played such characters as...
The Full Court Press guy.
Vivek Ranadive.
Yeah.
She's written some of the best one-liners from those skits as well. It's Funny Tie Day was one of my favorite lines from Mikhail Prokhorov. Anyways, we're here to talk a little bit about basketball and talk about this new project. If you like the Brick House comedy, you'll sure to love Fame Dogs comedy.
We're not just a basketball podcast. We're a life podcast here, Bob.
Yeah, there's a slice of life.
Yeah.
Fame Dogs was submitted as a feature film, Matt, and it won the Best Comedy at the Independent Filmmaker Showcase here in L.A., which was really fun. We got to go and see Fame Dogs up on the big screen at the Grove Theater in Los Angeles. Sylvia's written many screenplays, both for film and TV, that have been finalist and semi-finalist at such festivals as Austin Film Festival, also the Nickel Fellowship Program, quite prestigious screenwriting competition. So congratulations, Sylvia, on releasing Fame Dogs. Today, the day of we're recording this, part 6 of 6 of the web series is available on YouTube, Facebook, and Vimeo. For our listeners who haven't seen Fame Dogs, would you mind telling them what the series is about?
Wouldn't mind at all, Bob. Fame Dogs is a dark satire about the cutthroat nature of Hollywood. It's basically 80 minutes of beautiful women just beating the crap out of each other.
I'm listening.
Mm-hmm.
That's the end of the synopsis.
Foxy boxing.
Yeah, foxy boxing. There's also one very good looking man who also gets beat up, destroyed. Yeah, it's about an actress who is unwittingly tied to the suicide of a very high profile celebrity. And as a result, she skyrockets to fame and learns just how much our culture is interested in profiting off of celebrity downfalls and deaths.
And they are.
Every day on set, it was just slam dunk after slam dunk.
Nice. I like what you did there.
Play into the audience, Bob.
Yeah, let's use that as a segue. You know, one of the many reasons I fell in love with Miss Sylvia here is she's a big basketball fan. Give us a little background on your basketball fandom. For example, who's your favorite NBA player right now?
Jamal Crawford.
That's a good choice.
Yeah. I like Jamal Crawford. He is consistent. You know what you're getting with him and what you're not getting, which is defense. but when he's there, he's there. And you need a consistent six man, especially when your starters are prone to doing things like punching their equipment manager and breaking their hand.
Ouch.
Slam. No one's safe.
So how do you feel about the rumor that was circulating that the Clippers might trade Jamal Crawford for Rudy Gay?
You know, it hurt. I'm glad nothing came of it, but like, we need Jamal. Rudy Gay is not as good a player as Jamal Crawford, and for like stats alone, but also I really appreciate that the Clippers have a player with a signature move. Not every team has got that. Rudy Gay certainly has nothing next to the shake and bake.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask what Jamal Crawford's signature move
or the 4-point play, maybe.
Right, I think he has more 4-point plays than anyone in history, right?
By a good stretch.
Yeah.
He also just last week surpass Steve Nash in lifetime points.
Wow. Really?
Ooh, yeah, wow. Just in the game we were at.
The great Steve Nash.
That's crazy.
So who do you think is going to be in the final four teams in the NBA playoffs this year?
Warriors and Cavs.
Duh.
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 I'm going to say Raptors. I think that We the North thing is really giving them a lot of momentum.
Okay.
And then, you know, superficially it might look like the Spurs, but I'm going to give it to the Clippers. I want to be optimistic.
I like it.
Yeah, I liked Blake Griffin's opening day speech about us being a better crowd, being a better audience, and I think part of being a better audience is going on podcasts and saying that I believe.
Okay, yeah. There you go.
You're welcome,
Blake. I don't think legal marijuana is going to help the Clippers fans be better audience members, but it's just a theory. A couple episodes ago, we talked about Sam Hinkie and debated whether he's crazy or a genius.
There are a lot rides on this question here. This is a very important...
We still don't know, so we're just going to go with whatever
you say. We're going to keep asking people until we come up with a definitive answer.
Sam Hinkie, crazy or genius? My answer is neither. I think Sam Hinkie is a normal guy who just got in over his head and now has to just keep running this long con and acting insane.
Oh, interesting.
To get us all to keep believing. Like, how else would you come to a point in your life where you will say the sentence, why do we watch basketball games front to back?
Yeah.
Why not back to front? Yeah. Why not out of order? It's a Wonka Vader. It goes upways, sideways, squareways, downways. I think Sam Hinkie is neither crazy nor a genius. I think he's basically Kevin Kline in the movie Dave. This whole thing just really got away from him.
I'll mark that down one for Dave. I like that. That's good. That's a good
Kevin
take.
Kline mention on the podcast.
Yeah.
Only hopefully took 107. It's
not, long overdue.
Hopefully it's not the last.
One of the most important questions I wanted to ask you, who would win in a fight, Matt Barnes or Meta World Peace?
Absolutely Matt Barnes.
Oh. I agree.
Yeah. See, okay, so World Peace, okay. He's bigger, he's stronger, we all know he can punch. But Matt Barnes is much more likely to have a straight razor blade on his person at all times. Matt Barnes will go for your eyes. Matt Barnes will use his teeth. Matt Barnes is like a tired raccoon that you stumbled across and surprised while it was going through your garbage. And he'll go for the jugular.
Well, and especially now that Meta World Peace is so...
World Peacey?
Yeah. He's you know, they're talking about him as a coach and they're discussing him as, you know, how he's helping out the young kids.
He was quoted this week as saying, like, how would you like to be remembered? He said, I just want to be remembered that I was ghetto as
Yeah, nice. I think we'll all remember that.
Yeah, mission accomplished.
Well, you've done a lot of casting for Fame Dogs and for other projects. Who do you think is the best actor in the NBA right now?
I thought about this a lot. Blake Griffin is good. Chris Paul is good. I think Chris Humphries is great.
Okay. Wow. Yeah.
From the Kardashian wedding?
The single Foot Locker commercial he did. Populated fully with professional actors and James Harden. And he had one line. He looks in the mirror and he goes, yeah, cool guy. And Chris Humphries destroyed everyone else in that commercial.
As we've seen with Kevin Durant, it can be hard for basketball players to deliver one line. So that's good. I like that.
Yeah.
I like Kevin Durant's Sprint commercials. The only word he says is half. How much is the phone bill going to be? Half. If you were going to remake a basketball movie, what do you think would make the best remake?
So my favorite basketball movie is actually so good there's no reason to remake it, but it would probably still be good a second time around.
Find a way.
Yeah, and that's Love and Basketball.
That's a good one. The story of me and Sylvia's courtship. Actually,
yeah. Court, literally court, basketball courtship. Yeah.
Bob actually played for my hand.
Yeah, that's how men do it. That's how I don't know what all these 2016 people are doing. Yeah.
But my thought is, everybody loved Creed. I'm assuming Matt.
Creed was good.
Creed, yeah. You loved Creed.
Yeah, great band.
So,
yeah,
we get Michael B. Jordan and Tessa Thompson in a Love and Basketball remake with the same director of the first one, Gina Prince Bythewood, and Step 4, Profit.
That would be good. I would also see one with Anthony Davis and Brittany Griner. Just throwing that out there.
But Bob, So one thing you and I have talked about many, many times over the years is your favorite basketball movie, White Men Can't Jump. If you were to remake White Men Can't Jump, who would you cast as Sidney Dean and Billy Hoyle?
I've been thinking about this question for almost 20 years, Sylvia, so I'm glad you asked me that. There was a few people that, you know, just barely missed the cut. Draymond Green, Kevin Love. I thought he was too tall to, you know, be believable as someone who's not good at basketball, even though he is a goofy looking white guy.
Sure.
I liked Tessa Thompson for Gloria even. But the people that I'm going to have to go with, I was inspired because they've actually already made a video down at the Venice Beach courts. But they weren't playing basketball. They were riding a tandem bicycle together. These two people.
This movie just went a whole different direction.
Yeah. I think these are two of the funniest guys in the NBA. Well, formerly in the NBA. Baron Davis and Steve Nash. Absolutely hilarious guys. And I think they would make a good job. Plus, Steve Nash can look really dorky and goofy. And he would make a good Billy Hoyle. It's like unbelievable that this guy would be good at basketball.
Yeah, I think that every time I look at Steve Nash.
I love that you came on the show, Sylvia. Movie producers listen to Brick House often. So you can tweet Sylvia at Made by SBA. I would recommend following her. She is a really hilarious Twitter writer. Tweeter?
I twat.
Otherwise, please watch and like Fame Dogs Parts 1 through 6. They're available on Facebook, YouTube, Vimeo. Or all three.
Is there a preferred place to watch it? Is it one that's better?
Right now, it seems like Facebook is the preferred place. They're all great outlets, but Facebook, you know, I uploaded the pilot on Wednesday, and the series has been viewed now over 15,000 times on Facebook. So you can go there. You can like, comment, share. You can also ha ha or wow or angry face,
man. Or LOL,
any of the above, really.
Lol.
Well, I really appreciate all your contributions to Brick House over the past year and a half, and I really enjoyed watching Fame Dogs. I do think that people who like Brick House and their sense of humor will also like Fame Dogs.
But even more important, he's more pleased and happy with what you brought to the marriage for the past 3 years. See what I did there?
Yeah, thanks okay. for that as well. Okay. Yeah, really yeah. put me on the spot there. All right. Well,
I just hadn't, you know, made much of a contribution this segment, so I wanted to.
You know what? That was more than enough because I needed to hear that.
I wanted to make
I needed
things,
to hear that.
I wanted to make things weird.
Let's take an opportunity to hear a word from our sponsor. For you, listeners of the Brick House podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a 30-day free trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. They have so many basketball titles to choose from, including a book that I plan on reading this Christmas, Boys Among Men, Matt.
What's that one?
The subtitle is How the Prep to Pro Generation Redefined the NBA and Sparked a Basketball Revolution. It's by Jonathan Abrams. It's about every NBA player that came directly from high school.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
There's Kevin Garnett stories, Kobe Bryant, Moses Malone. We're going to be driving to Albuquerque with our dogs this Christmas.
Driving.
We're going to know all of these things. Thanks to audible.com and their free trial. For your free audiobook, go to audibletrial.com/almighty. Again, that's audibletrial.com/almighty for your free audiobook. Back to the Brick House show. You know, we're going to miss Craig Sager, Matt.
Oh, yeah, that was a rough one.
There was a lot of good narrated pieces about him. Ernie Johnson, the guys on TNT, did a great tribute to him. One of my favorite quotes that came out of that was from Shaq. He said, he was the first white guy I saw rocking colored gators.
Nice.
Rest in peace, Craig Sager. We got a new CBA, a new collective bargaining agreement.
Yeah, that seemed to happen with no chaos, no trouble at all, really.
A cash influx of multiple billions of dollars from the new TV deal really helped smooth things over.
Sure.
Help these guys settle their differences, yeah. I think, yeah. is what happened.
Right.
But I wanted to touch, there's a lot of different ins and outs and what have yous to the collective bargaining agreement. And some people who know more than us will be writing some pretty good articles about it, I'm sure.
A lot of think pieces, Bob.
I just wanted to go over who we know is affected right away, right?
Okay.
One of the major changes is that it's good for teams that are trying to keep their superstars, namely Russell Westbrook and DeMarcus Cousins.
Right.
Some other people that might be up for this too, Paul George, John Wall, but they have to get a couple of things, and I'll explain what that means. So the rules for this designated player, and that is someone that they can offer a five-year extension to when they're still under contract.
Okay.
So essentially it's a six-year deal, but it's only for players who either have one of the following three things. One, he makes one of the three All-NBA teams or is named either Defensive Player of the Year or Most Valuable Player the previous season.
Mm-hmm.
Two, he's made one of the three All-NBA teams or has been named Defensive Player of the Year in two of the prior three seasons or the MVP in one of the prior three seasons. And that, but the crucial stipulation is he has to be on the team that drafted him or has to have been traded on his rookie deal to another team.
Okay.
So it's not like James Harden. James Harden, he could get it, although he just got another extension from the Rockets.
Right.
But so like Kevin Durant is not available.
Dwight Howard, basically.
Dwight Howard can't do this either.
How does this compare to the Derrick Rose rule?
It's similar to the Derrick Rose rule. The Derrick Rose rule was designed to be able to give rookies who really overperformed more money sooner.
Oh, so this is... So this is Rose Rule extended, basically.
Yeah, this is a way for if their superstar is, you know, making all NBA teams, then you have an opportunity to give him even more money than if he were to leave.
So Devin Booker right now, he doesn't qualify, but I'm saying in his current state, he would qualify for the original Rose Rule. If he signs that and then stays with the Suns and then when he's on this next deal, he can then sign the new designated player deal.
Right. I mean, if he's making all NBA teams.
Right. I'm saying just because he stayed with the team.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Now, so under this new deal, Steph Curry has estimated his next contract could be worth $207 million.
Sure. Yeah.
Whereas if he left to go to another team, it would be a four-year deal for $80 million less than that.
So that's he's losing out on 1 year, $80 million.
1 year, $80 million. You know, some other people that might be eligible for this if they can make an All-NBA team this year: John Wall, Gordon Hayward, Paul George. You know, are probably three of the most likely people.
Sure.
Rookies are also impacted by this new thing. Teams can now give two players coming off their rookie contracts a five-year max extension.
Oh wow! Okay.
Previously, teams could only sign one of their players to such extension.
Sure.
You know what the name of this rule is called, Matt?
Kevin Love rule?
The Kevin Love rule.
Nice.
Exactly.
Because they wanted to save it for Rubio or something. Yeah.
Yeah. They should really have called it the David Kahn rule, or prevent your GM from being David Kahn rule.
Yeah.
Draymond Green expressed his distaste for the new collective bargaining agreement.
What?
Draymond doesn't like it.
Why not? Because he missed out on $80 million?
He says he's not happy for several reasons.
Okay.
Says it isn't about him, though. To summarize his position, he wants more money and support for minimum guys and younger guys in the league to balance out money to everyone.
Huh. Okay.
I think Draymond Green could be a politician with this statement.
That's a very politician-y. Right.
It's like a senator saying, the only thing I would have done differently with the new tax bill was give money to all of you poorer people. I wish I could have done that. It's a shame it's already over.
Yeah.
But that's what I would have done.
Sure. It sounds good in the moment.
Yeah. But really, the CBA does raise salaries for guys on minimum contracts by 50%.
Wow.
Like the minimum deal used to be $575,000.
Yeah, so now it's $7,800.
$810,000. Yeah.
Okay.
$810,000. Rookies are getting 15 to 30% increases. But Draymond really is a man of the people.
He is.
He knew somebody was going to be upset no matter what with this new agreement. And he just wants you to know that he sympathizes with you, man.
Because he's trying to win those Defensive Player of the Year votes. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Too bad the minimum salary players aren't voting on that.
I'm surprised he didn't go with, I'm with Draymond, stronger together, make defense great again. Just try and scramble all the slogans into one.
You texted me that Dan Fagan was back in the news.
Oh, yeah, he was. History repeats itself, Bob.
He's back to stealing Andy Miller's clients again. Back at episode 46, we told you all about the underworld of sports agents and how Dan Fagan was last sued by Andy Miller for poaching Larry Sanders right before he had his contract in place. Miller, I believe, had already negotiated a $40 million deal for Larry Sanders with the Bucks. Fagan came in and got it up to 44.
Sure.
And lost. He had to give some money to Andy Miller for that lawsuit. Anyways, per multiple sources, Nerlens Noel is leaving Andy Miller and is expected to sign with Dan Fagan. Way to go, Dan. I expect this means Nerlens will probably get a really big deal, probably from the Dallas Mavericks. They seem to throw money at like their 17th option after the first 16 strikeout.
That's true. You know, we're talking to Sylvia, and she's talking about movie making and script writing. This whole Miller-Fagan thing has the potential for some sort of movie.
The NBA runners.
Yeah.
Matt, now that the December 15th deadline has passed, that means that anyone who signed a contract over the summer is now eligible to be traded.
Right.
With the exception of a few players, like specifically guys who have no trade clauses, like Carmelo, LeBron.
Sure.
But I wanted to go into our predictions for the most likely trades, the least likely trade, and our dream trades. Now we're going to talk basketball, and we're going to talk non-basketball too.
Oh, wow. I only prepared basketball, but...
Well, I got you covered, Matt.
Thank you.
Most likely trade. You may have this one too. I said Rudy Gay may as well set Taylor Swift's We Are Never Ever Ever Getting Back Together as Vlade Divac and Vivek Ranadive's ringtones, you know?
That's a good one.
Rudy Gay really wants to be traded. If the Kings don't trade him, they are the most inept franchise of all time.
Yeah. Well, do you have a trade? Do you think you have a place that he could go to?
Wojnarowski says that the Thunder, Pacers, and Rockets have all had interest in Rudy Gay.
The Rockets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was trying to look. I don't know where there's a good landing spot for him. He's just kind of one of those guys that I thought maybe the Heat. Mm-hmm. You want to hear a trade I put together, Bob?
Please.
It's Kings and Heat, Gay and McLemore to the Heat for Goran Dragic.
Huh. You think the Heat would do that, huh?
I don't know. Uh-huh. I don't know who anyone would trade for Rudy Gay. If the Heat, I don't know what it accomplished, but I thought it actually would be a shrewd move by the Kings because they would get a point guard back.
They could definitely use that.
Because any move, I read a kind of a thing about trading from point guards, how it's kind of hard in the NBA. Because everyone kind of needs one to the point where if you have one, you're not going to trade them. Does that make sense?
Unless you're the Suns.
Then you sure, then you have them. Seven of them.
Brett Brown this week just said, the coach of the Sixers, just said it would be a, quote, extreme challenge to keep all of Noel, Okafor, and Embiid on the roster all year.
Right.
Noel is probably the most likely trade candidate. You know, I thought it was also pretty political of Brett Brown to say it would be in a challenge to keep Noel, Okafor, and Embiid on the roster.
Yeah.
As if they have any intention of trading
sure.
Embiid.
Right.
You know who was going to be in one of my most likely trade categories but is now in my least likely trade category?
DeMarcus Cousins.
Exactly right.
Okay.
And it's this new CBA. He can't turn down like $80 million.
It's such a, I like sticky wicket as a phrase. It's such a sticky wicket. Do you want to leave your job so bad that you forfeit $80 million?
Nope.
It's insane. You would, even the chaos that the Kings are, you have to stay there, right?
I would think so, yeah. I predict he's going to be mayor of Sacramento in 30 years now.
Bob, can I give you my dream trade?
Oh, please do.
It's a four-team trade. I think you'll enjoy this, okay? It involves the Hawks, Rockets, Cavs, and Clippers.
Oh, man. Oh, no.
Okay, the Hawks get Nene, Hilario, and Clint Capella.
Okay.
Okay. The Cavs get KJ McDaniels.
Uh-huh.
The Clippers get Corey Brewer.
Yeah.
The Rockets get JJ Redick, Kyle Korver, and Mike Dunleavy.
Wow.
Yeah.
The white amigos.
Yeah, I just want, after seeing the Rockets shoot 61 three-pointers the other night, I just want them, I want them to go for 100.
100% three-pointers.
Yeah, we need to go, we need to get all the three-point shooters in the league.
Wow.
And just ship them over to the Rockets. 61 three-point attempts. It's amazing.
Wow, I like that trade. Matt, I got a least likely trade that I'm sure you'll agree with. It comes from the Game of Thrones.
Yes, I always do. I always agree with these.
Least likely trade is the White Walkers trading back all the babies they got from Caster's Keep. Am I right?
Yeah, that was my worst part of that.
Even if Jon Snow and Khaleesi offered them all of Westeros in a trade for the babies.
All of it, even that one part?
Even that one part.
Yeah.
I still think that the White Walkers would turn that down because they're going to take Westeros anyways, right?
Sure.
And they've already got the babies. They already their eyes already turned blue. It's pretty much a done deal at that point.
You could be saying things that aren't Game of Thrones things, and I'll just think I'm in at this point.
I did come up with a dream trade as well, Matt Baker.
Yeah, Westeros.
It's a dream trade between the Sacramento Kings, the L.A. Lakers, and the Washington Wizards. I like the Lakers the way they are with Luke Walton and all the 19-year-old kids they have on the team.
Right, but this is L.A. You got to shake it up.
Yeah, just for fun. I don't think it's going to happen, but I wanted to see if there was a way in the trade machine for the Lakers to get John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins.
Mm-hmm.
The Wizards would get Julius Randle, Larry Nance Jr., and Jordan Clarkson. And the Kings would get D'Angelo Russell and Brandon Ingram. I just love to see the Lakers take a Lakers-like gamble and trade away their five best draft picks in a decade for a pair of enigmatic ex-college teammates who yell at reporters.
Right.
You know what made me think about when I was looking at this trade? There's 25 Kentucky players in the NBA right now, right? Graduates from Kentucky.
Yeah.
If you had to guess, how many of them are on a winning team? A team with a winning record.
Oh, man. 25 Kentucky players.
You can eliminate seven of them that are on Phoenix and Sacramento.
And Sacramento.
They got Phoenix as Bledsoe, Booker, Knight, and Ulis, all point guards.
Yeah. So then you can eliminate the Sixers ones. So that's another one or two, one there.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say Kid Gilchrist, he's on a winning team.
Yeah.
Is Wall on a winning team? Are the Wizards? They aren't.
Nope.
So is Tayshaun Prince still in the league?
Nope.
Ron Mercer, is he still in the league?
No, log gone.
Yeah. I'm drawing a blank on.
There are only 10 Kentucky players who are on winning teams, but the real question is how many are actually contributing anything.
Is Gilchrist still hurt? Kid Gilchrist hurt?
Well, Gilchrist is. I count him as contributing on a winning team. He's a starter.
Terrence Jones is not. The Pelicans.
Jones is on the Pelicans. They're losers. The only guys that are contributing from Kentucky to winning teams: Michael Kidd Gilchrist on the Hornets, Trey Lyles,
Lyles
on the Jazz, Patrick Patterson, he's the Kentucky player on the best team right now. He's on the Raptors.
Yeah.
Inez Kantor technically is from Kentucky,
sure,
but he never played.
Yeah.
And then Rondo, who is before Calipari's time.
Rondo
is on the Bulls, although not really contributing in the most positive way. And then the other guys that are more end of the bench guys that are on winning teams: Aaron Harrison's on the Hornets, Andrew Harrison's on the Grizzlies. But he's been a borderline contributor since Mike Conley's injury, averaging 7 points, 3.5 assists in 27 minutes this season. And then you got DeAndre Liggins on the Cavs, Wiltshire on the Rockets.
Wiltshire, yeah.
And James Young on the Celtics.
Well, Wiltshire's more of a Gonzaga guy there, Bob. That's where he graduated from.
I thought it is hilarious. Well, yeah. Well, he transferred to Kentucky, right?
He transferred from Kentucky. He won the title with Kentucky, then transferred after.
The point is, the guys from Kentucky, especially the superstars, aren't on good teams. even 5-6 years later, like Cousins and Wall, or it's like crazy. 7-8 years later.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so the remaining 8 players that aren't on Phoenix and Sacramento. It's hilarious that Phoenix has only Kentucky point guards and Sacramento has only Kentucky centers.
Jeez.
They have Willie Cauley-Stein, Cousins, and LeBriziere, whatever his name is.
LeBriziere, yeah.
The 8 remaining Kentucky players we haven't mentioned: Wall, Karl Anthony Towns, Anthony Davis, Terrence Jones, Jamal Murray, Julius Randle, Nerlens Noel, Jody Meeks, also pre-Calipari.
Oh, Meeks, yeah.
So that's my dream trade. My other dream trade, Matt, all the money and effort that is going into the Star Wars franchise is traded to building Kobe Bryant's mythical world.
Okay. I think there's enough Disney money and Star Wars money to build this world without sacrificing the Star Wars movies.
I'm willing to sacrifice it.
Okay, that's fine. What do we got? What's the mythical world, Bob?
Kobe Bryant's mythical world, that's yet to be seen. I imagine that... You know, Dwight Howard is probably killed in the first 5 minutes, though.
So this is just, we'll give Kobe the money to do whatever he wants.
Exactly.
Okay, that's fine. I'm fine with that.
I mean, he's teamed up with J.K. Rowling and Ari Emanuel, so mm-hmm. He'll be fine. This isn't a diss, but I thought it was hilarious. Iverson was doing some commentary for the Lakers-Sixers game on ESPN this week, and he says he didn't lift weights when he plays because, quote, that was too heavy.
Yeah. He's right.
Yo mama is so fat.
Our diss of the week, though, comes from Hassan Whiteside. And evidence that the cover-up is always worse than the crime. It was clearly a diss when Hassan Whiteside said of DeAndre Jordan, "I do a lot. He just catches lobs." From ESPN, Whiteside tried to walk this back and said, "He catches lobs, I shoot jumpers, catch lobs, block shots, I do a lot, he just catches lobs." Then he tried to clarify, saying that his comments were misinterpreted, and then he thinks Jordan is one of the top centers in the NBA and a really, really good
just
player.
Just a great, great player. Nice guy, too. Did he throw in that?
He said they're friends.
Yeah, good.
On the next episode... of Brick House.
We should all become back better people after the holidays once we've all had time to sign up for a free book on audible.com.
Yeah.
And catch up on all 6 parts of Fame Dogs.
Man.
By next episode, we may have some Brick House New Year's resolutions ready to go. I, for one, am considering no longer picking on Dwight Howard. Not really, Matt.
Whoa.
I wouldn't trade Dwight Howard jokes for all the sneakers in Swaggy P's closet.
I was going to say, is that your way of telling me the Brick House is coming to an end? That's crazy.
Never, man.
Yeah, okay.
Please follow us on Twitter at Brick House Pod. Watch Fame Dogs on YouTube, Facebook, or Vimeo. And Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Festivus. Whatever you celebrate. Enjoy yourself, and we'll see you next time on the next episode of Brick House. Thank you.